taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome back. Taxation is theft, and we have a very special episode today. Of course, you probably noticed it's early in the morning, and we usually do these at night, and we'll upload this again later tonight so that everyone can watch it at the normal time. But the reason that we're doing this so early is I have a couple guests on from Hong Kong, and it is actually late in the afternoon over there, so we're just accommodating their time zones, and we're gonna be talking about a lot about what's going on and kind of just you know, what life is like in Hong Kong and what they're worried about, what's, you know, what kind of tyranny they're facing, because Hong Kong is kind of facing, you know, they're a part of China, but they're separate from China. They have a lot more freedom than most of China, and we're gonna talk about, you know, what kind of transitions are Hong Kong is going through and what sort of issues are coming up. So I'd like to welcome Josh and Uncle Jaeger, which of course are not real names, because even as we speak, there are very, what could I call these? High risk security concerns, just knowing names and voices. And in fact, as you listen to this, you're going to hear that they have a filter over their voice just to avoid any kind of voice detection software. Because of this. So, hi and welcome.
Hi, hello. So, my name for this podcast is Josh, and this name's got a little special meaning because Josh is, like, the name Josh is actually the name of Carrie Lam's younger son. And Carrie Lam once said that she thinks, well, she's the mother of Hong Kong citizens, and what she's doing is actually disciplining like a mother, but, apparently, she's trying to oppress us and, you know, use brute force to attack us. So that's why I came up with the name Josh. Just a little joke.
Right. Interesting.
And I'm Uncle Jaeger, just a regular Hong Kong citizen.
So you're both Hong Kong citizens, and one of you is currently living there. Josh, you're studying abroad right now. Is that right?
Nope. Hong Kong student, actually. And Uncle Jaeger is a Hong Kong worker.
Okay.
Well, I prefer a businessman.
Yeah.
Okay. And so let's talk about, let's kind of first give everybody a history of Hong Kong from your perspective. What is Hong Kong? Because a lot of people think it's just part of China, but there's a little bit more history there. And why it's so different, and why it's a little bit more of a free zone than what the rest of China is.
So, okay, what's yours, Josh?
Let's start with a little bit of history. You know, Hong Kong was underdeveloped until the British came. Like, we had a little culture, but that's like it's not really well developed. We can't say that, but you know, it's got a little bit like it's not always the shining part of Chinese history until the British came in, like, the Second Opium War, is it?
No, the First Opium War.
The First Opium War, yeah. You know, they...
1842.
Yeah, they invaded Hong Kong Island, you know, and eventually they took over Hong Kong. So, and Hong Kong started developing under British rule. It's until 1997, you know, where Hong Kong so-called returned to China. And what's special about Hong Kong is that, you know, we were a British colony. Many citizens were, like, they were educated under the British system. They lived under the British administrative system. And so we kind of built up a sense of belonging to the British. But then after the transition to the Chinese government, you know, the you know how the Chinese government rules, especially
for 1997.
Yeah, you know, they prefer to use oppressive methods, I shall say, and it's starting to stir up a lot of anger among citizens, and especially in the recent 2 months where they're trying to pass a
extradition law,
which is actually being feared by quite a lot of Hong Kong citizens, because it means that we may, like, even foreigners in Hong Kong exist.
Yeah, well, they would be at risk to send to China. And the thing is, China is using the, Hong Kong is using the common law, and the Chinese mainland is using the what is that?
It's more of an authoritarian type law system.
Yeah, exactly.
No one trusts the mainland government system.
I mean, including themselves, they don't trust their law system as well.
Yeah.
Then why should we trust the Chinese government? That's, you know,
that's basically the story.
Okay, so, and you know, that's kind of, you know, we know a little bit about that. You know, we know the British were there. When the British were there prior to 1997, was it, was English the main language there? Is that the main language that ran all the government? Was there like a normal system of courts and due process? And do you feel that the police were, you know, justly enforcing crime more or less? Was there like a big surveillance state? Was there any of this going on, or was it, because even, you know, even, you know, in the UK, they have a lot of, surveillance going on, nowhere near as much as what China does. But, what was kind of the general feeling with that?
Well, at the beginning, everything is kind of sort of okay. So, how about let's start after the 1967 riot. So that riot is organized by the mainland Chinese government.
Leftists, basically.
Yeah, basically it's the leftists or the Communist Party. Responsible for the riot and for all the bombs they set up in Hong Kong and murdered the citizen and the police alike. And after that, one of the governor, the British governor, sees the problem. So he made a very aggressive reform. The first is the Anti-Crime Bureau, which is aka the ICAC. So which to compensate, we would call it compensate what their mistake is, and also like. But at that time, the police react like pretty violent. Like they almost like start another riot from the police. But luckily, the governor said, "Okay, we just let's bygone on the bygone." So after like a certain day, I can't remember when it is, and all the police, you've been forgiven, but. After that period of time, there are a lot of like let's say movies from Jackie Chan or media, and also including in the police themselves to try to reform to make things better. But after the 1997 and Hanover, at the beginning, like they start to restrict the protests. Like in the past, like if you protest, go out, no problem.
You mean like silencing the dissent? Like people disagree, they come out to protest, to voice their opinion, and then they just oppress them, don't let them come out. Like you can't let them not go out.
That is only recently.
Yeah, that is recently. But start from 1997, like they would request the protester or the organizer to have a agreement with them first, and they will be and the police will issue their a permit for that. And after that, things get more and more intense. Like recently, they just said, "Okay, no more protests, no more gathering, nothing at all." And it just, you know, the more the more they do that, the image of the police is getting worse day by day. And not to mention, I think like then have you heard about the 21st of July?
Oh yeah, the assault, the so-called
terrorist incident.
Yeah.
Because the thugs or the triad,
the mobs,
people in white citizens randomly. I mean that in the same world, this will call it a terrorist attack instead of like a gang assault or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They only change. At first they call it some kind of like a disturbance or something until like maybe 1 week ago, I don't really remember, but it's until recently that they changed it to like they started calling it a riot. And is it only two person
being prosecuted?
But, yeah, only two were prosecuted, but
it took them like almost a month to do it.
While on other events, like for the intergovernment protests, they usually act very quick. They arrest a lot of people, and it's been said that they're actually torturing them. They are sending them to unknown sites and locations
to beat them up, and some of them, and they got their bones snapped and or something like that. It's all in the media recently, and also like we got another incident in Yunlong or something like that in a hospital. One of the patient got tied up and the police like exercised torture to the patient being tied up already.
Yeah,
like
62-year-old old man actually. Yeah.
Although he's drunk, but doesn't mean he's been tied up already. He can't fight back. Then why the police need to exercise this kind of assault? So, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and for all these years, the police try to image themselves as the Asia,
like a safest city. Like,
the safest city
before they tried to promote the bill, they said that, oh, Hong Kong is the safest city. But then right before they tried to promote the bill, they would just say, oh, Hong Kong is very dangerous. You know, it's a safe haven for criminals.
For criminals, mobs, gangsters.
And that's pretty much BS.
Yeah, they just made that stuff up on the spot because the people rioting are not for their cause. So they're like, okay, these people are terrorists. So let's put it basically, the triads and the cops are using Antifa-style methods on us, the Hong Kong populace. Well, them anyway, I'm not currently in Hong Kong, so
I mean,
the police is just exercising their brutality on the fellow citizens of Hong Kong. God damn it.
I mean, if you look at history, like how the Third Reich rise up, the SS, the SA, they beat up like people are not so-called patriot or against the Jewish people or anything else. You know, right now Hong Kong is like...
Basically, the crime is that you express something that's not to their standards. This is stupid.
So really, it sounds like your free speech, you don't have any free speech. You're very restricted in what you're allowed to say, especially publicly. And it sounds like even so, a lot of these protests, which, you know, and I saw some of the footage from some of the earlier ones where it was a lot of people, but they were marching through the streets. They weren't doing anything violent. And then later we saw a lot more of that violence. And that was kind of, you know, we saw the police sending tear gas out, but we didn't really see we didn't see
tear
the people.
Gas. It's not just tear gas. The tear gas is expired.
And the thing is, well, some of the video you saw, like some of the protester throwing Molotov or like rocks or using a slingshot or something like that. I just want to emphasize some of the so-called protesters maybe undercover police, because like we've been in having like several incident that
spies
try to infiltrate the protests and like try to tell people that, hey, charge! And I mean, like, clearly, it's right. just on the, yeah.
Or like, to misguide the protesters.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, those spies, yeah, they're just trying to just screw over the people, screw over the protests, so the cops didn't have to weigh on the people and infringe on the rights more. So,
Charlie basically. The protest as like, oh, they are mobs and terrorists, or like, well, if this keep continuing, the Chinese will, the mainland China will send their PLA forces to come to Hong Kong to like, arrest all those people. But I mean, at the first place, everything is peaceful.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, the more peaceful we are, the more headache they are, because they can't crack down a peaceful protest.
Right.
If we come out every time, every Sunday, every Saturday, peaceful walk like
holding signs, just
holding
walking
sign and just, you know, stand, occupy the street or something like that, and after that we just go home. And I guess like they are more headed because they can't frame them. They can't frame them as like
the so-called terrorists
or a rioter or something else. It's just to them it's like, okay, what can we do?
I think I have to disagree on that point, because actually on the 9th of June there were like the first 1 million people protest happened, and the government's response was actually
pretty useless.
Yeah, it's really useless. They just ignored like they ignored the whole protest, okay? So on the 12th of June, actually I may call it like the first armed conflicts with the police, like it happened in Admiralty, which is near the
under the
Legislative Council.
It's
near the Legislative Council where protesters actually use more radical measures to, you know, to maybe I could say it's an assault, but yeah, they were having activities over there. And actually, I think we may say that it's because of these radical actions that the bill wasn't passed on the 12th of June, because, you know, the Legislative Council members, they will start to be concerned of their personal safety. So the real problem with the root of all evil is actually the government, because if we do peaceful protests, they wouldn't care. But if we do more radical movements, it would then condemn violence, and that's the real problem.
So they're trying to paint us as the attackers. So let's say if we go out to protest or demonstrate peacefully, just walk around, they wouldn't give a damn. But if you start throwing rocks,
that's the real problem, actually.
But if you start throwing rocks at them, they have an excuse to blame the Hong Kong protesters or that they're enacting terrorism or something.
Thanks for rephrasing.
Right. They'll use one small act of violence to discredit the entire movement. So are these police that are involved in this? Are they from Hong Kong also? Or I've seen like the Chinese government, I guess the national government, bringing in a lot of trucks and their own. I don't know if you've heard police or soldiers.
Oh my god, I've seen that all over Australia.
Police are at the border, but the main problem is that
you never infiltrate the police force already, or they just, you know, they come down from mainland and just wearing Hong Kong
uniforms.
Okay, so
I guess
I'm trying to get like kind of a reference in their mind. It's like they're not attacking their own people. They're sent almost on a military mission to another city that's not their friends and family. And
not official, but we don't know, because the government uses some very shady tactics.
And also, like, how to put it, like, right now,
and the police
calling the protester cockroach. I mean, like, dude, they are human as well. Then why do you call them cockroach?
Actually, it's a dehumanizing.
It's like
they're trying to dehumanize protesters, and the police, they actually wouldn't bring their warrant cards. Like, we don't even know if they're really the police. And when citizens or protesters ask them to take out their warrant cards, they would just refuse. And they may even arrest you for, you know, like all sorts of different crimes. And that's the main problem. We don't know. It's not that we can clearly, we can, it's a must that, oh, the police, they're getting, they're actually getting some forces from the mainland. We don't know. It's still unknown.
Yeah, right. There are like propaganda videos all across the media showing Chinese mobilizing to the border city. We don't know if this is true or not because I'm not there.
Kind of the CNN and BBC, and even the President Trump saying himself already, like the armed police being mobilized and stationed at the border. And one of the stadium in Shenzhen. So I would put it like the situation in Hong Kong is pretty intensified and it's pretty critical as well. So I think I think the option for us is like we go on protest peacefully every Saturday and Sunday. And we don't like apart from what to say
join
distance ourselves with those who throw Molotovs or bricks.
I know what you mean.
I think it's like they have their right to do it as well, and we have our right to do it peacefully.
Yeah.
But the things is, the goal are the same. It's like the five demand. The five demand are the same as well, because it is most importantly, it's like we need to get things done. We need to get the five demands that, passed. Because Carrie Lam is a very stubborn lady. Some of the media call her emperor. Of Hong Kong.
Emperor. It's all over Australian media as well.
And of course, she's basically got unlimited resources because, of course, she doesn't have to pay for this on her own. She pays for it with your money.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it seems like if this were to continue on forever, at some point the people would get tired, and of course the people that are the police and the government that are fighting the people will never get tired because that's just their job. That's where they get, like, they're going to go there every day for work.
Get paid. Yeah.
Unfortunately, then that is not the case because in the past, in the 2014, yes, you are right, but now it's not because. Day by day, the police is keep adding oil on the fire, into the fire or whatever. Yeah, because like in the 11th of August, the police exercised police brutality again, right? And some of the protester been shot in the eye. And she lost like one of the eyeball already. She is blind now.
That's shot with a pellet gun.
Yeah, that's actually before, but after that, there's a couple of cases also happened in the same.
Yeah, way actually, there have been three cases of the police shooting some protesters' eyeballs, and the protester just lost half of his. Three cases, unacceptable.
Josh, I need to confirm this. Were there live shots fired? Because in Australian media, they claim that live shots were shot at the protesters.
It actually happened.
Is that true?
Like, it happened on Sunday in some sort of poll.
Yeah.
One of the police officers...
They fired a shot to the sky.
Yeah.
And they claimed that it was because it was due to self-defense. But
warning shot.
And one of the police officers spotted kick. One of the citizens of Hong Kong.
Yeah. The guy was, like, one guy was trying to...
Yeah, he was trying to...
Yeah, he was trying to beg the police not to shoot by, like, kneeling down, but then the police just kicked him. And then on the other day, when the Tonga police force, like, the official press conference, they said that it's a natural act.
Yeah, so instead of...
And it's really unacceptable.
I mean, instead of... in stuff like this is Sparta, so that would be rephrased into this is
a natural reaction or something. Yeah, so that's ridiculous.
Double standards, basically double standards.
Right.
Yeah, because when those demonstrators do something, police call it terrorism. When they actually attack the protesters, they call it a natural occurrence.
Right. Yeah, to put that in perspective to anyone listening in the U.S., that's really like, you know, when the police come to you and they've got all their guns out and everything, and, you know, you get stopped, a regular traffic stop, and you're surrounded by five police with guns, you're supposed to just stand there and put your hands up. But if a police comes onto your property illegally and you come out thinking it's a burglar and you've got your gun out, they'll shoot you and say, oh, I feared for my life. And then it's okay, even though they had no reason to be there. And no reason to be there in the first place.
Well, sadly,
and they're
the
threat.
Sadly, they're not living in America. You can't own guns. So to the
right.
Americans,
well,
do not mess with your Second Amendment. That's all.
Let's talk about that, because I've seen a lot of protesters who are out there calling for the Second Amendment. They want the right to be able to own guns because of these protests.
Yeah.
And I guess before that, maybe it wasn't an issue because they weren't really butting heads with the government. But now that they are, is this kind of a new thing that they're seeing, like, hey, we should be able to defend ourselves?
Well, personally saying, I think it's a good idea, but it won't be most effective, because even if there is a Second Amendment in Hong Kong, it will be immediately repealed by the Chinese government.
Because the Chinese government, and they don't want people to have guns and else, because it's endangering the rules or something like that. Because as they rule with fists,
Well, and here's another interesting question, because you talk about being peaceful in protesting. And of course, if all the protesters came out with guns, there's a lot of people would say, no, that would just create more violence. And also, even here in the U.S., where we do have a Second Amendment, whenever we do have big protests like this, like we've had, probably nothing to the size of what's going on in Hong Kong, but we have had, you know, massive protests where maybe 10,000 people come out to protest police brutality. And even though they have a right to carry their guns, they don't bring them out to these protests in general, because I think they know that this would be like, you know, a big war that would start.
Let's talk back about Hong Kong, because I think we're getting a bit off topic. Apologies if I changed the topic. So how about we get back to the topic?
Yeah, but actually,
regarding Hong Kong,
if you were to put the Second Amendment in Hong Kong, I think, like, I didn't study very into the situation, but I think there are a lot of circumstances that should be considered. Yeah, because, you know, Hong Kong is like a different city. We have different cultures and that. Yeah, but I think we should be getting back to the main problem of Hong Kong. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the actual extradition bill. What do you think? Because a lot of people, even in the U.S., they hear that and it's like, okay, so if somebody committed a crime in China, they're going to be sent to the main part of China to be prosecuted for this, for a crime that they committed. But there's a kind of a bigger fear than that. There's a fear that this is going to be abused, that it's going to take away other freedoms that you have in Hong Kong. What are some of those bigger fears?
It's kind of more like the political dissent will be sent to be extradited, and not really, how to say it?
It's really about people, the distrust to the Chinese government, because
in the Chinese legal system,
they have a long history of prosecuting political opponents that speak out against the Chinese government, like, you know,
so,
Ai Weiwei or Liu Xiaobo and all those people. Like all people fighting for human rights in China, they will be prosecuted or even tortured, like imprisoned until the end of time, something. So that's the main problem about the that's also a problem about the extradition bill. Yeah, and because the bill gives basically a limited power to the government to send people back to the mainland, and the mainland judicial system is actually distrusted by a lot of people. So that's why we are standing out to fight against this extradition bill.
And one more thing as well, like how about every American listener, just imagine yourself like you're in Hong Kong after the extradition bill has been passed. So you would see like the political will change to like everything into nationalism, like no more Democrat Party, no more anything, but Communist Party or any party that support the Communist Party. So you're going to Beijing. If you are, let's say, then including yourself, like since you do this kind of podcast, when you come back to Hong Kong for like interchange or something like that, great. You're in Beijing.
Gulag.
Yeah, so I mean, like that's the reality. So that's the reason why we fight so hard, and not just that. It's like it's bad for business as well, because that is
just to say, so are afraid to get extradited.
The last governor,
Chris Patton.
Mentioned about the extradition bill, and the reason why they exclude the extradition bill to China, because it's like a firewall to protect the business, businessmen in Hong Kong or foreign alike, to protect them from the tyranny of the mainland Chinese government. So
I see.
So even if I came back now, if the laws pass, I'm dead. They know that I've been on this podcast, and they accuse me of working against the state, and I'm dead. If the laws pass, anyway.
Right. So is there, I'm trying to understand this relationship with China. Is there anything good that China does for Hong Kong, or is there any kind of movement for Hong Kong to just separate itself from China and become its own country just on its own and I guess not have any relationship with China?
Do you mean Hong Kong and China or both?
In Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Is there any... I mean, it sounds like a lot of people don't want this extra attachment to China. So is there kind of a movement that they would kind of like to go back to, not the British rule, but to at least be completely separate from China and maybe, you know, not even have the Chinese government as, a higher level at all, just completely disassociate as if it were a separate country?
Well, that's a quite highly, in fact, that's a really highly controversial topic, because it started from a few years ago, since the umbrella. It was starting from then that some voices in the society asked for independence in Hong Kong, but they continue to be the minority even until now. Like in some protest movements, you can see protesters upholding the flag, writing independence for Hong Kong, but it's. Not, I would say that it's not the majority. Like I've been to a few protests, when I see people, they wouldn't, like, it's not the main focus, but that's what the Chinese government's actually trying to frame us as. Whenever the protesters come out, they would just say, like, the media, the Chinese government, they would just frame us as, like,
the independent movement in Hong Kong.
Yeah, but it's actually not true.
It's not the people back in China.
The people who support the independence movement is still a minority, actually.
Yeah. You're talking about, like, less than 1% of the population in Hong Kong.
I don't dare to say that.
Yeah.
that's what's happening in protest. And I don't dare to say whether, like, people's attitude would change, because the Chinese government is actually standing firmer and firmer instead of like trying to soften. So there could be a chance of people actually switching to asking for independence in Hong Kong. But right now,
we don't know.
Yeah, right now it's still a minority.
And mainly like Hong Kong citizens, and they came out and protested, just want the Chinese government to fulfill that the British John Cena and British declaration that one country, two system will be continued, and the five demands. Like, so simply to say, it's like Hong Kong people want the Chinese central government to hands off. Very simple.
So for those who don't, for those who don't want independence, but they don't want, they don't want, this military influence that's happening. What's their reasoning for saying, you know, what do they get out of the relationship with China? What's their benefit for that? Why do they want to? Why do they want to stay a part of China but stay separate with the non-extradition and these other boundaries?
Because I would say that it's because of the special status of Hong Kong. We rule, like, supposedly we rule under the one country, two systems, in which that the Chinese government would have their way while Hong Kong would stay as it was before 1997. And
for like 50 years.
That's a promise from getting out by the joint declaration of, you know, China and Britain on Hong Kong. That special status is actually why people would say, oh, Hong Kong, like in the administrative side, it's kind of part of China, but actually we're not China.
So, it's kind of strange.
Yes.
So if you look at Hong Kong, like we got our own postal system, we got our own currency, we got our own our police force, medical system, education system. Even the way to drive is completely Britain. So if you come to Hong Kong, you will see we are kind of like a grand jury of the British descendant. But if you go to China, it's like another different story. So China is China and Hong Kong is Hong Kong. So that is like two different systems because we've been separate more than like 100 years already. And not to mention, like, we all know that mainland China is communist and we are or socialism or something like that. So in Hong Kong, it's running like capitalism. So that's the difference. And also, like in
China says it's socialism, it's actually capitalism, but it'll be another story.
Yeah, they don't have like the power to free of speech, like assembly, and like protest the government, because like if they try to protest, that mean and like speak out, and
you're dead.
Yeah, what else? Oh yeah, and vote as well. And we have like a tiny little bit of democracy in Hong Kong, where we can choose our senator in the large code, but and that's it for now.
Yeah. Temp is more like a 50-year deal, so if the 50 years is over like in 24/7 or something, they have the right to legally take away all our freedoms.
You can't say that for
years.
Yeah, that was the promise that was made before, but you never know how the situation develops.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a movement to extend that beyond the 50 years, or is that something that's not on anyone's mind because it's so far in the future?
Well, that is a little bit of uncertainty about that, because back in like 10 years ago, the last Chinese leader said, okay, Hong Kong, how about we just remain what it is? Like, don't worry about the 50-year unchanged, because, you know, after that,
it's been a while.
But after Xi Jinping came into power, oh my God, everything has changed. It just distanced away from the declaration. And the foreign correspondent in the Chinese
opposite the diplomatic.
Yeah, that guy. Like that guy who said the joint declaration is ended and
voided.
Yeah, voided already, and everyone is just freak out because you can't, like, you sign a contract, and after that they say it's a past tense.
Yeah, it's a big WTF moment.
Yeah, and that is just, you know, unthinkable about this, and not to mention like. Back in 1984, when they signed the Joint Declaration, Deng Xiaoping mentioned, like, you know, why is 50 years unchanged? Because we believe that 50 years later, China also have democracy. China will also
be changed
to a democratic country. So there will be no longer need that 50 year unchanged. No longer need it one country, two systems, because we are the same.
But currently, the future is unknown.
Like, no, actually, it's the other way around. You, like the China said, pointing a finger at us, like, you need to change and follow us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll just end you.
You're either for us or against us. The whole concept like this.
Right. So
if you
so
don't follow us, you die.
Right, so they're trying to, it sounds like, keep it separate for now, but then get everybody kind of on the same page, and then once that's done, then they'll be able to just say, okay, let's all become one thing.
Let's compromise, yeah.
Something like that. So what's the border like right now? Like, do you have to show passports or anything to go in and out of Hong Kong as if it's a separate country, or is it?
Yes, yes.
Let's speak about border control. You know, okay. So basically, you know, now people, like, as I said, we need to show our passports, we need to get through checkpoints in order to enter China and get back. But now, like for the past, it's almost 3 months now, but for the past few months, the border control, they actually would ask people who like wear black shirts, you know, they would just ask people who are suspicious. They would check their phones. They would do like background searches. They would do a lot of horrible things.
And also, I forced them to install an application that
unknown applications that
Chinese government
authority track you. Like,
authority can take all their photo or
basically, they have access to people's phones.
Yeah, it's like a backdoor.
Yeah, and all of their private information. And,
yeah,
and that's also a big issue.
So regarding like one of the questions you asked, like how's the border works. So like for example, like then if you come to Hong Kong, you have your passport check and stamp, and after that, if you want to go to mainland, you need to get your passport check and stamp. And after that, if you want to go to Macau, just like the island next to Hong Kong, check and stamp. And after that, if you want to come back to Hong Kong from Macau, and you have to go check and stamp, then you end up like, how many? One, two, three, four set of check and stamp.
Wow.
So it's like a country, but
has borders with its own cities. Some like other cities with other cities have borders.
Actually, like a couple of the YouTuber Fox or VOX Vox.
Vox, yeah.
They make like a border series about Hong Kong. So it's pretty interesting. Like that guy tried to go to Shenzhen and go to like Macau and come back. So it's like a little bit like a city, a country, but not a country. A country like not.
So it's a mess.
So just, I want to get this clear. So if you're in Hong Kong and you go from Hong Kong to Macau and back, you get stamped by Hong Kong and you get stamped by Macau. Do you also get stamped by China?
No, you don't, unless you go to China. So
as long as you stay
Hong Kong to Macau, check and stamp. And Macau back to Hong Kong, check and stamp.
Same thing.
Okay, so Macau is what it's got some sort of arrangement, kind of like what Hong Kong has.
Yeah.
It's also ruled under the one country, two systems. But if you like look at the situation now, Macau's actually you can say that it's taken over by the Chinese government because they passed some. A very abortive rule.
Article 23.
Yeah, the Article 23 and all of that. So now basically you can say that Macau has fallen under Chinese rule even before 50 years have ended.
Interestingly, back in 2016, they also considered making the extradition bill as well, but they scrapped it 1 year later because they said that they can't confirm the legal status in China is safe for Macaonese to prosecute in China, so they just scrapped the deal. But the thing is, in Hong Kong, they proceed. So Carrie Lam is a very, very, very stupid move for doing that because I would say it's
shows that how weak Hong Kong ours are, so that Chinese government can come over us, the whole shebang, basically. Even in here, some of the Hong Kongers in Australia are talking about this, how piece-ish that the extradition law is, and how it lets the Chinese government know how weak we are and how easily it is to infringe over us.
So do you think, why is it that they're so interested now? There was an agreement and it ended. Do you think that there's more interest for China to get into Hong Kong because of everything that's developed there? Like maybe, you know, when the British came 50 years or 100 years ago, and it was there wasn't much there, so you know the leadership of China could just say, okay, yeah, whatever, it's a little piece of land, there's nothing there, who cares, you know, do something with it. Now that it's got a huge developed economy on it, do you think that that's kind of an incentive for China to say, you know, well, hey, we want a piece of that action, we want to tax it, we want to control it, we want to extract maybe technology that's being developed there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, because Hong Kong has been a role model, like you can say it's been a role model for China since the PRC got into control, because saw that the Hong Kong was, you know, a well-developed city, it's got its own infrastructure, its economy was growing, and so it's always been the top city of China, like in terms of economy. Like the economic performance. But you know, like before, the Chinese government always said, oh, we need to make Shenzhen the second Hong Kong, oh, we need to make Shanghai the second Hong Kong, but they failed. And I think the main reason is because of the legal system, where the Hong Kong is still like we're adopting the rule of the British, like, you know, the legal codes, the legal system, or cases we have the cornerstone built by the British. That's why foreigners and investors, they would like to invest in Hong Kong because they can run with some familiar rules. And also, again, it's the distrust towards the Chinese legal system. You know,
another thing,
the current system as well.
What's that distrust? Are people worried that if they invest in, like, let's say if they invest in a business in Shanghai or Beijing, that they're going to lose their investment because of the legal system, that it's going to be confiscated somehow?
Let me give you a very clear example. You know the New Balance, right? The company that produced this shoes, New Balance.
Yeah.
Actually, there was this fake company, like a forged company in China called New Barlin. Like it's Barlun. Okay. New Balance tried to sue New Barlin for
Chinese knockoff for plagiarism.
They tried to sue them, but actually the Chinese court ruled that New Balance lost. Like, New Balance lost the case. And New Berlin took over. That's like, just a very simple example of how... Like, how about
plagiarism
of their product, like iPhone 6 or iPhone 7 or something like that. They can't sell it in China because the court said Apple iPhone 7 is copied from one of the product, one of the Chinese company, a product, and which is
it's absolutely wrong. But
a lot of play the other way around.
But then the legal system, but then the court said that the foreign companies copied our products, and that's why that's from at least like a lot of people's standpoint. That's why
even here
Chinese government.
Some of the Chinese people in here, even they claim stuff like bullshit like this. They say like, iPhone copies Huawei or like...
Huawei, basically. Yeah. You know, it's got
and lot. then Hong Kong would be nothing today without China. Or it's like something
but
like...
That's another story. It's about the...
They flipped the whole narrative around.
There's the perception of the Chinese people.
And they flipped the perspective. Like, if you went into like one of the Huawei or Xiaomi store, and it looked exactly the same as Apple Store in like any Apple Store around the world because it just copy and paste. So
and they won't be sued for that.
There are a couple of YouTubers press correspondent, and they reported that already. But they are really shameless. They're like, oh no, it's all okay to us, and I mean, for our point of view, it's like, okay, well, it's good for the customer. But I mean, and for every American and who listening into this, I mean, it's really sorry for you guys because we got like this kind of, like the Chinese government got this kind of company stealing from your country.
Stealing your info, making it theirs, and
that's
then...
wrong. But the thing is, like, the Chinese government is still willing to protect them.
But even though they're stealing foreign technology.
And a normal foreign company can come to China, because China is just stealing from them.
Interesting.
So that's the reason why...
Because they're afraid that when they... establish their own like little business in China, a little branch in China, like McDonald's, for example. And then the Chinese will be like, hey, okay, let's copy them. And then they made their rip off of it. And then it's because it's protected by the Chinese government. So McDonald's, for example, cannot sue whatever Chinese knockoff they have. So they're afraid of this. And that also because Chinese government loves to switch narratives. So this just causes more fear in the companies to not invest in China and instead invest in Hong Kong.
So do you think that, or is there any kind of a movement to say the Chinese, instead of trying to take Hong Kong down to what China is, to say, look, the reason we're so successful and the reason we have so many investments and the reason our economy grows so well is because of these rules in place. And so if China wants to kind of be better and be a part of that, that they should change their rules to be more like Hong Kong. Is there any kind of a movement like that going on?
Oh, some of the Hong Kong Democrat leader, they tried to do that for the past 30 years after the Tiananmen massacre, but it's very unsuccessful. And recent year that in Hong Kong, the 4th of June, normally like there would be people to mourn that, but year by year it's getting less and less people to go to that because we start to distance ourselves from like Chinese. We won't call ourselves a Hong Konger or Hong Kong citizen or Hong Kongese or something like that, which the Chinese government are very, very afraid about that.
So
because they always misunderstood this kind of like nationality or like self-proclaim or something like that to like Hong Kong independent movement. They always link both to.
So, so you're saying you would call yourself Chinese, not Hong Kong, not a Hong Kong.
Actually, start the way around. I would call myself Hong Konger or Hong Kongese or whatever you want to say, like a Hong Kong citizen instead of Chinese.
I see, and you're saying that's starting to become the trend, and people are doing that more now.
Yeah, well, it's always been a trend.
Yeah, I mean after. What Carrie Lam did, I mean, like that trend is skyrocketed.
Even before that as well, because the Chinese government has been doing these shady things and all these. I say it's disgraceful. Like it's a freaking joke, to let such a large country who's got a very large GDP, you know, like a very developed industry, to do a lot of these copyright infringements and. All these acts, it's making us feel ashamed to be so-called Chinese.
I see. That's interesting. And of course, it's the leadership of Hong Kong that's kind of like, do you feel like they're selling you out? They're not government of Hong Kong is not. Like they're not representing you.
I say it's because of the stupidity of the communist government. They just want control. They don't understand. Yeah. They don't understand the values of freedom, liberty, and all that. They just think, I do it my way. Like look at the One Belt, One Road developments. They only know how to grab money, grab control, but they don't know how to.
No negotiation. Negotiate. They don't know how to negotiate.
Yeah, they don't know how to be a role model, like how to be a real. Like a respectful big brother sort of figure. They only know how to control. Yeah,
we see that I see that in politics all over the world. It seems to be the people who want to get into those positions of power are usually those types of people, and so that's kind of the natural order of things. But is the leadership in Hong Kong, are they mostly from Hong Kong, or do you have any of those that were maybe from China originally and recently moved, so they're bringing that influence?
Well, there's only one rule, is that you have to be patriotic to China. That's it.
You said that there is a law that you have to be patriotic to China?
Yeah, all you need to do is like, I love China.
Well, that's happening in the government. Yeah, like before they even declared that people who enter LegCo or the authorities should declare that they love China and love the party. Like, they need to declare their allegiance.
And that's for the government of Hong Kong that's required to do that?
Yeah. Wow. Actually, a few Legislative Council members, they were disqualified because they were accused of doing rude acts when they were swearing,
And recently, they tried to force the teacher to join that as well. They have to ask the teacher to swear allegiance, to say, I love the country, I love the party, in order to continue their job.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. I mean, usually, like, I would think that would be towards, I guess I'm trying to picture this in reference to how the United States works, where, you know, the states are kind of individual, but I guess you do still, even if you're elected to a state in the U.S., you still swear an oath to the federal government and their constitution. So I guess maybe it's kind of similar that way, but at the same time, I mean,
if you swear allegiance, to the country or to the constitution, not to the party. Like, let's say,
right.
I swear allegiance to to Donald Trump, to the Republican Party, in order to get a job. I mean, in America, that is like insane, and I guess people would just rise up and overthrow the government for that. I'm pretty sure for that.
And still the main reason is that because the Communist Party is we can say that it's the root of all evil. Yeah, you know, it begs for money, like it's very hungry for money, for power, and it's doing all these acts to try to maintain its control, like amongst its people, and even tries to financially invade other countries. And that's the real problem here. That's why we don't trust the Chinese government. That's why people don't trust the Chinese government in general.
Right.
Now, except for the Chinese people, because they're brainwashed.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I was just about to bring that up, because there's, you know, like we just talked about, the leaders who usually get into politics usually have one mindset. If you look at the U.S. government, the high ups, the military, the president, they always want to invade and bomb these other countries. But most of the people in the U.S. want nothing to do with that. Is that kind of the same in, well, I guess you kind of said it's not in China. A lot of people, because they're brainwashed, they just kind of support whatever the government's doing. Do the people of China want to absorb Hong Kong as much as the leadership of China wants to do that?
Actually, I guess the Chinese citizens have no say about that, because the state media tell them what to do, or what the media say, and they have to say the same as well. Otherwise, they're in deep trouble. Otherwise, they lose their job, they lose their health care, or anything else. Everything, like, they might have to pay an extra tax for that. They might have, like, unthinkable consequences. I can't mention, because none of us is mainland Chinese, so we can't tell you what will happen. But the thing is, like, why the border, why the firewall exists, because to prevent the evil hand of the mainland Chinese government or the Communist Party to spread their influence to Hong Kong. But since the extradition bill is here, and is still here, because the government haven't fully withdrawn that, so there's still a risk that Hong Kong may get absorbed, like eaten by China, mainland China, before 2047.
Is there, so something you just said that's really interesting, is there, you know, China's your neighbor, is there a lot of communication between people in Hong Kong and China?
Yes. We can't, like, in mainland China, they don't use Facebook, they use Weibo. And people in Hong Kong, we can access it. So, you know, like, even in recent years, a lot of people, they're promoting trips to mainland China. You know, even like my dad, he goes to China once in a week to work. So I'd say that we have some kind of dependency. Like, we are like the two, like Hong Kong and China, we have this sort of relationship. Yeah, we're not actually that isolated, because, you know, like, in terms of the economy, we have the SIPA, you know, like a lot of mainland tourists actually come to Hong Kong, and, you know, like quite a large number of tours to mainland China is already organized. Even some of my relatives have moved to China. So I'd say that there's been quite a lot of communication, but the main problem is that when the mainland Chinese, like, even if they come to Hong Kong, they were so built into the mindset of which the mainland government has brainwashed them into. Like, they would always say, Hong Kong must obey China. China is your big daddy.
Oh, this is my favorite. Without the Communist Party or without China, Hong Kong is doomed.
Yeah, they're so, like, many of them are so brainwashed into this idea. And even if people with rational minds, like, they're trying to say, oh, it's actually not the case, we've got facts to support that, even if these people, they won't come out, they're just a minority.
Straight out ignore.
If they successfully evaded the prosecution of the Communist Party, they would still be a minority, because the laws were because the Chinese government has controlled media, you know, the mass surveillance. They don't have access to free information. We've got Facebook, Twitter, we've got YouTube, we've got a lot of these different media sources telling us stories. But in mainland China, you can only access what the government wants you to see.
Yeah.
That's the real main problem.
Like in mainland China, you can go to CCTV, no problem. But you can't go to CNN, BBC, CNBC, Fox News, definitely no. Okay, you want to go check Twitter check Trump's Twitter?
Nope. Even if they do, they'll just report what the Chinese government wants you to hear, like Trump said this nonsense.
They can only use VPN to gain access, but usually these people they use VPN and they come and scold others. Like they scold. Like recently, there's been a surge of those. We tease them as 30 cents because they receive. Actually, a lot of them receive payments. You know, like these paid boxers from Chinese government or even just people. They use VPN. They go to Facebook. They go to Twitter. They go to YouTube, and they say, "Oh, look at these Hong Kong pro." They call protesters mobs. Like, oh, look at these mobs. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're doing acts of violence. Blah 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 blah. And
so, mark my word, Dan. If you put this in YouTube or in your Facebook, might be like 2 or 3 days later, the Chinese the internet army might invade your Facebook page and put a lot of comments there. Hong Kong is part of China.
You're American. Stop caring about what Hong Kong. The Hong Kong situation should be done by the Chinese government.
One thing I'd like to say. As much bullshit they've spread online, they still have the right to say it. They still deserve the right to speak. I mean, sure, it's their opinion. If this is true or not, then yeah, it's their right to speak it. And then we have the right also to listen to whatever dogma they say. That's totally fine. I mean,
right.
In Australia, just says like some Chinese Facebook profiles were removed because they spread misinformation. Whether it's true or not, they should be able to have the right to speak.
Right.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah, we do see a lot of that. I mean, there's a big movement even here in the U.S. because the big companies like Facebook and Twitter are censoring certain profiles for that. So there's still a big movement to find some sort of decentralized path for that they can't take things down. So we're kind of coming up to the end of the show, but I want to give you guys a chance. Just if you have anything else that we didn't get to that you want to talk about, is there any important issues or points that you want to bring up to what's going on?
No, Josh stole every single point I have.
Well, I'd say that if any listener is trying to come to Hong Kong, just stay safe because the police is pretty much crazy, and you know, conflicts as we said, they're getting more and more intense. Like protesters are starting to use Molotovs and all of that to stop the police from forwarding in the protests. And yeah, if you really want to come to Hong Kong, maybe choose another day instead of like recently.
Not now, but come in the future.
Yeah, I say it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, because what I would say is like the most dangerous things is not that protest. The most dangerous things is the police. And if you look at the news clips, some of the protesters, they went to the mall in one of the shopping center, and the citizen of Hong Kong just greet them as like a hero. And if a bunch of police just walk by, they are totally freaked out. They like they saw a ghost or something like that.
And remember, if you come to Hong Kong and if you're in a crime scene, don't call the police. Don't call the police. There's been a few incidents where the police actually assaulted foreigners, and there have been some, you know, pro-government protests. And whenever foreigners go near, those people just spit on them. They just say, "Oh, you're from the CIA. You're like a spy. You're undercover."
Yeah. So right. In Hong Kong, if you see a person like wearing a white shirt, be careful, because they must be a, like, I wouldn't say every white shirt a bad guy or like pro China.
Just watch out.
But you can say it's like 90% of them are like that already, and not to mention like they are willing to attack like any like foreigner, like if you're white, you're Caucasian.
You may say that we're under anarchy, actually, because the police state not doing anything.
They're not doing their job.
They're not doing their job, and it's chaotic.
Interesting. So if
even for me, I'm still a bit afraid to just come home because all the mess that's going on. As Josh said, all those white shirt people. Some of them may be the Triad gang, so it just increases the fear. So even now, currently, I'm a bit afraid to come back to Hong Kong because me being here is enough excuse for me to get dragged on the street and publicly tortured.
Just because you've been in Australia for a while?
Not just been in Australia. I've been in Australia for a while. I've had this little podcast thing. And when I come to Hong Kong, if they found out, I'm dead.
And so actually, there's been another case where some protesters were, anti-government protesters, they're posting notes on a Lenin wall,
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I guess you go to the London Wall in Hong Kong.
In Melbourne, Sydney, and some other cities in Australia, there's some of the Chinese students tearing it down.
They're not just tearing it down. Like, two people were sticking notes, like they were trying to tidy it up, and suddenly one guy held a knife and assaulted them.
Yeah, wow. A couple of incidents, the Chinese student being arrested by the Australian and police.
Yeah.
And I think like some of them is
one of the major cities
in the States
here.
They've been assault some of the Hong Kong people in the state. And
not here, but major cities. They want to get arrested in major cities. Because in these cities they're like, okay, this is not a major city, we won't cause that much influence. So I'm a bit surprised that they didn't choose to commit these violent acts on the protesters, because Adelaide is more of a minor city and people rarely talk about it. They're like other cities like Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, they're all like major cities, so it's gonna get a lot of flack if they do something. So that's the big thing I'm a bit surprised. Still, they do this, it's wrong. You can just say whatever crap you can say and then we can just ignore your crap. But you don't have the right to commit violence on people you disagree with, because that's just,
Right.
Yeah, no, in foreign countries, you can be arrested, but in Hong Kong, probably not.
No.
Wow. So one final question before we go is there anything, if anyone from around the world wants to show support for Hong Kong, is there anything that we can do to help that?
You may have to ask Cody about that. Ask Josh about that.
Well, can you like for a listener around the world, if you see a Hong Konger like their protest, go and join them. Because
just show support.
Because we just need to we need your support to fight off the mainland Chinese government. And mostly when these kind of things happen, there will be a lot of Chinese students to stand the other side.
No matter which side you stand on, just keep it civilized. And if you see some Hong Kongers, some of your friends are Hong Kongers and they participate in the protest, feel free to ask them for inquiries to see what happened. We won't assault you. And again, just stay safe in those protests. Feel free to attend them. We'd like to welcome people from all around the world, all different ethnicities, to help join the cause and raise some awareness.
And maybe spread the message, You can call it a humanitarian crisis now, and in especially for people in the States, we've actually we've established a lot of White House petitions on various different events, the Yuen-Long terrorist attack on the 21st of July. We've got all of these petitions going around, and if you see them, feel free to sign up for us. It'd be helpful, I'd say.
Feel free. We'll welcome you. Welcome y'all to join.
Mostly, it's just about spreading the message.
Yeah, and just if we have enough number for that, but at least you guys may convince the Chinese government to rethink their strategy,
or just ask the local government to respond to the situation in Hong Kong. That'd be really helpful.
Yeah. Because I'm sure as hell the Chinese government won't listen to anyone. So contact your local, as Josh said, contact your local senators. Tell them that this stuff happening in HK is BS. And just raise public awareness. Just don't talk to the Chinese government. Because most likely they won't even listen to you. Done.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show and talking about this. It's a really important issue. I know it's risky for both of you. So thank you for doing this. We'll stay in contact. We'll keep talking. If there's any news or anything, give me a shout out and I'll do whatever I can do to kind of help get that word out over here also. But thank you. Thank you again so much. This has really been awesome.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for you, then we wouldn't even be here today. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So I'll see you guys around, and taxation is theft.
Okay, bye.
Okay, see ya.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
Rhodes.